Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Alves, joined in the dugout from a safe distance, my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And on the bullpen phone, my other pal, Chris Zook.
Oh, that's very nice. I like it. Brian's fired up. Let's get it going.
Well, he's fired up, but based on the injury reports I've seen, his Jays.
Very sad.
Let's
pour one out here for the Jays.
Big sad.
I mean, spring training always claims its victims, but it seems to be really going after a certain team from Toronto.
Well, I mean, obviously the one big one, right, is Kirby Yates. He was a big part of why.
Oh, he's going to be the closer, right?
Yeah, he's a big part of why I thought that a big part of the reason why I believe that the Jays were going to be the second best team in the American League. But without him, I don't see it. I just
it's
can't
wide
see
it. Open now, wouldn't it be? Like
I can't
sort
see
of
it the same way. Yeah, it just it's not the same. Like when you don't have don't get me wrong. I like a lot of the players that are in the Jays bullpen. I like a lot of the guys. The Jays consistently do this thing where they get guys that you've never heard of and somehow manage to put together a respectable bullpen. They find a lot of gems in a lot of places, and I credit that a lot to the coaching staff that they have there, you know, helping guys maximize their talent. You know, guys like Jordan Romano, guys like Rafael Dolis, they had AJ Cole they have AJ Cole. You know, I liked what I saw, what they did with Baruki in the pen, as well as Chatwood, I think is going to be a pen guy. But you know, they have a lot of depth in the pen, which is good. It's what you want. But the problem, you know, is when your number one guy, when your lockdown closer goes down, it shifts everyone up. And all of a sudden you've got guys that you were expecting to throw the sixth inning now throwing the seventh, and everyone gets bumped up. And it's just not good. You know, Kirby Yates is not just a good player, a great player, and a great closer.
Well, he would be an elite closer, right?
So now it's either going to be Romano or Dolis, and while I do trust those guys, I don't trust them as much.
Sure. I mean, so a couple of questions I had. One, there's no one out there still as a free agent that they could kind of
I don't
take
know
a run at, right?
But you let me take a look,
because the other question I had is does it matter now in 2021 as much? Like as
yes,
in,
I think like, it matters.
We're just gonna go bullpen.
You're a fantasy player, Zook. You know,
sure.
You know no. That it's not the same.
No, I understand that, but I mean, there's less. I mean, I guess where I'm going with this is, well, they have to go to plan B pretty quick here, right? Like they're just, I understand why they got Kirby Yates and all that, but they don't have any option if there's nothing out there right now. I don't know. Maybe they can piece something together, but
some guys that are out there. And I don't really know how you feel about, I haven't even thought, I just looked it up. Mm-hmm. This is all via Sport Track. So You know, David Robertson.
I'm sure the Jays are doing the same thing as you just
sure.
did.
Sure. David Robertson is available. Jose Alvarez, Shane Green, Darren O'Day, Edison Volquez, Ryan Buchter, Jeremy Jeffress. Those are all guys that are available. In a dark twist, Roberto Osuna is available.
Oh, yeah.
Please, no. But the other guys, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about any of them. David Robertson is washed, has kind of really fallen off a cliff. Same with Jeremy Jeffress, has not been the same since his injuries. Darren O'Day is almost 40.
I thought he had retired, to be quite honest.
I don't know
how he might be.
I don't know how you feel about Shane Green or, you know, it's all a bunch of guys that are over 30 and not, you know, like, how do you feel about any of them? The answer is, I don't know. They're all not great options, but, you know, they provide you more depth, I guess, right? Like, I wouldn't want them to be my closer.
They just might be an arm.
But
right?
I'm not necessarily
to take some innings.
I'm not necessarily opposed to having more depth in that, right?
Let's just say this.
Jeffress,
when you read off
had
that
a
list,
fairly decent, I mean, obviously shortened 2020, but with the Cubs, just looking at pulling up, his whip was under one.
He'd have been the only one that sort of
he's the only name that really pops
his
off.
His strikeouts are down from, you know, when he was getting like 9 or 10 in a couple of years ago before that injury when he was an all-star with Milwaukee.
Right.
But his strikeout to walk is all right, but not like a decent control guy. Right.
Right.
And when
he's not coming in to be your closer, but he can
come
in
to be your
setup.
Closer. But if you're looking at like the numbers for, you know, further down the bullpen depth chart for the Jays,
I don't mind it.
Certainly better control, right? Like, you're looking at guys who have whips like above 1.4.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
He seemed like the only one on that list that you named off that came to mind that's saying, hey, that could be serviceable. But that said, as you just plug it in, right? Like at this point, the problem is you're not finding anyone anywhere close to this. And can you piece
you're
something
not
together?
Finding eights, yeah.
No, of course not. But
I don't know how I feel about Robertson.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
He had a really bad year last year, but the year before that, he had an ERA slightly above 3 and a WHIP under 3. The year before that, he had an ERA under 2.
He had that big contract, right? And then,
and that was his year was his WHIP was 0.7 that year.
Like, he's not.
I mean,
he's not the same guy, but you know, you could, if you're just looking for depth, you could talk yourself into it.
I guess. I mean, the hard thing too sometimes is how much do you put stock in 2020? Some,
and that's it, right?
Right. Some players just, it didn't work out, right? It just, for 1,000 different reasons, right? You've heard a lot of this with all the pro, especially the four major North American sports, that, you know, a lot of players went through, have gone, even now, right? I mean, you hear this, is that, you know, they're having a hard time. They had a hard time dealing with the situation, right? So, yeah, I mean, maybe a new year and there will be fans in the stands and in the majority of, if not all, the ballparks. I mean, maybe that helps a bit. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it's just very unfortunate because the Jays, you know, literally, you know, thought they'd locked up a really good spot there. And I think you're right, Brian. I mean, it really, you know, puts a big dent into any chance of making a huge run. I mean, hey, you never know, right? Things can change and stuff, but they'd have to find something that you don't know about right now someone's going to have to save the Jays games this year, you know, so someone has to step up.
I think it's going to be a timeshare between Romano and Dolis. They really, really do like Romano a lot.
Mm-hmm. Conceivably, they stretch these guys out for a bit and then try to make a trade if they're.
Well, and that's the other thing, right? The Jays currently have 3 catchers who could be starting catchers on the roster. And they love Alejandro Kirk. They love Alejandro Kirk, and there's a lot to love about him. And the other two guys, Jansen and McGuire are out of options. And I like Danny Jansen a lot. I know that the organization still likes Reese McGuire a lot as well, but you can't, even with the extra roster spot, you can't be carrying three catchers. It's just a, like, you're not DHing any of them. None of them are good enough hitters, maybe Kirk, but not, you don't feel comfortable DHing any of those guys unless you really, really get into an injury problem. And so, like, what's the point of carrying three catchers, right?
You didn't even mention Riley Adams.
I didn't mention Riley Adams. You're right. But he's got options. They can.
Right. But if they're looking as a possible trade candidate,
right,
you've got essentially four catchers.
Right. And so, you know, obviously you're not going to go get somebody's proven closer, but you could go get good bullpen depth.
Right. And I mean, this is the thing. I haven't looked at, like, this early in the season, which teams could conceivably be shopping either, like, setup guys or closers, but that's always guys that are available.
Well, Arizona's not going to be good. What the heck are they doing with Joachim Soria?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. So someone like that makes perfect sense.
I like that. Brian's already trying to make a trade right now. That's good. If Arizona's listening, maybe they can,
well, if Arizona's listening, hire me first and then me.
And then you can just make that trade. So, I mean, obviously the Yates injury, this is his second Tommy John surgery.
It's not great.
That's not good for him. Also in the Blue Jay lineup of injuries, Kevin Biggio scratched Wednesday for a discomfort in his pinky finger. George Springer's dealing with a grade 2 oblique strain.
That's the one I'm scared about. Oblique strains are not.
And for a guy who's known for his speed, right?
Well, and I mean, then,
you got to be cautious.
It's about
that,
the hitting,
right?
Though, right? Yeah. It's about the hitting, right? Like, I remember, now this is completely, I'm not a doctor and this isn't the same thing, but I remember a number of years ago during Mitch Haniger's pseudo breakout season where he was on fire to start
that
the year.
First half of the year. Yep.
And then he got an oblique strain and his hitting has cratered since then. And he has not been the same player. He was red hot in 2017 to start the year, red hot. And he injured his oblique. He was okay in 2018, but he wasn't the same the rest of the year for sure, hitting wise. And that's kind of what I'm worried about. You know, he's Springer is the big acquisition, and he's not going to be, if he's not going to be the same player.
But then, you're not going to rush him, right? I mean,
no,
you've
God,
spent,
no,
you
please.
Just, you know, right? Exactly. I mean, you would err on the side of,
you've got him signed for 6 years. The timeline is still wide open. A lot of these players are still, you know, the cake is still in the oven kind of thing. The rebuild's not done yet. It's like, don't,
the cake is still,
don't
in the
rush
oven.
It. If you miss, yeah, if you don't make the playoffs this year, it sucks. It sucks because, you know, you made these moves.
Wow, we've gone a long way, Brian. You said the second best team in the AL. Now you're sick.
Yeah, and three injuries to three of their most important players.
We might be
not counting Nate
Pearson.
One is gone for the year. The other two, you know, the jury is out of
oblique is a problem, Zook.
Sure, of course it is. But I mean, it could be 2 weeks, it could be 2 months. We don't know.
Fair. But it's problematic. I mean, you're not gonna rush him back, right?
And you've got questions around
I feel the bandwagon here has lost the wheel already here.
I think he's just being pragmatic.
I'm a realist, Zook. I'm not.
No, you're being a Jays fan. it feels like you're thinking the sky's gonna fall here. I mean,
don't think the sky's gonna fall.
No,
just,
man, he's not. I was gonna say, like, this is the same guy who 2 minutes ago was making a trade.
Oh yeah,
to shore up the bullpen. Like, he's not throwing in the towel on this season.
No.
Well, no, but no. Well, wait a second. He just said, well, if the Jays don't make the playoffs this year, it's not the worst deal. Like you went from the number two team in the AL to not making the playoffs in a couple of seconds here. So,
well, this is the pragmatic part about the fact that some of these younger guys, that George Springer was not meant to be win this year. I think George Springer was meant to give them a larger window. Oh,
wait a second here. No, hold on here. Slow down. No. The deal is that the Jays made the playoffs last year. And so the deal is that they want to make the playoffs this year.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, absolutely. They want to make the playoffs. But at the same time,
you don't sign George Springer is not a 6-year
deal for a 1-year window.
No, of course not. No. He's part of this whole nucleus that's going to be there. I'm just, I can't believe hey, if the Jays don't make the playoffs, so, you know,
it's about adjusting expectations, Zook. It's about adjusting expectations.
I get that. I just, well, we're not even at opening
I still think that they will. This isn't me saying that I think that they won't, because I really still do believe that they will. They still have the bullpen depth, and they still should have the hitting elsewhere on the diamond, even if Springer takes a while to come back. You know, that you still have Gurriel, you still have Teoscar. Grichuk showed signs last year of being at least alive. I'm not sitting here telling you that I think that, but you know, when injuries happen, you have to adjust expectations.
Sure. But everyone's going to have injuries. I mean, that's just part of the game, right? It's just part of any sport.
Some will have
injuries
worse than others.
Sure. And some could be just, yes. And some could just literally.
It's not a zero sum game. It doesn't get, it's not unlike the refs in the NHL. This doesn't all get evened out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I have nothing to do with the, that sounds great, except that's not what I'm saying, is that both players could be there in opening.
But you literally just said everybody gets injuries. That's fine. Not every injury is equal. Not everybody's going to get the same amount, and everyone's going to get injuries to the same players. So I'm sitting here with the Jays having injuries to three of their five best players, plus two pitchers that they're going to count on. And you're sitting here telling me that every team is going to get injuries. I'm sitting here telling you that not everybody's injuries are going to be on that level. We can probably expect the Yankees to have injuries on that level, because they almost always do. But I don't know that the Twins are going to have injuries on that level. I don't know that the White Sox are going to have injuries on that level. I don't know that the Astros or the A's are going to have injuries on that level. Are they going to have injuries? Of course they will. Are they going to lose three of their five best players within the first month of the season? One of them gone for the entire season, and one of them with an injury that's shown to be tricky to diagnose and tricky to come back from? No, none of the other teams are dealing with this. So don't give me that crap.
Well, okay, but I got to be honest, is that you're overreacting right now. I don't know. We don't know. Both those guys could be on the roster on the opening day. We have one player who's out for the season. The other two is a question mark right now.
A grade two oblique strain means that he's probably going to miss opening day. Very likely. Very likely, based on the history. Based on the history of these,
could be 2 months.
No, 2 weeks is no, absolutely not 2 weeks.
And again, did you say you were a doctor or you're not a doctor?
Not a doctor, not a doctor, but a grade two oblique strain has a history of not being 2 weeks.
And every player responds to it differently.
I'm not sure where to pivot off of that, but let's go to the Astros, who this week agreed to a 5-year, $85 million contract extension with Lance McCullers. One piece leaving them the offer that they've apparently made to Carlos Correa of 6 years, 120 roughly, meaning that they're trying to kind of sew up any of the people that they want as part of their core and to longer term deals, so that they certainly are not hitting free agency. Any thoughts about the Astros moves?
I mean, they got to do what they can to stop the...
They bang trash cans to win World Series. Who cares about them?
They got to do what they can to stop the talent.
Seriously. Like, I mean, you know, the Astros, you know, until they do it legitimately, whatever. I mean, that team to me is... I don't know, whatever, right? I mean, it makes a good signing, sure.
They got to stop the talent bleed. They can't keep losing players that they think are talented. It's the same with any team.
Sure. I mean, and it's not a bad deal. They're signing someone up, exactly, that they're, you know, they're still going to be competitive in the division. They were competitive last year. And, you know, I mean,
Oakland is in perpetual flux. You never know what the heck's going on there.
You know, I will say this. The one guy I cheer for is Dusty Baker, right? I mean, you know, that was a nice hire after all that fiasco there. And I wish he was managing another team that I could really cheer for a bit with him, because that's one guy who could, you know, would be great if he ever won a World Series. But yeah, I mean, they're still going to be in the mix just because they still have some players there. And
that division is a total crapshoot.
Yeah, and Verlander, I don't know. I guess, has anyone heard? Is I know that he was trying to, you know, he's still in rehab and he was kind of throwing a bit there, but there's still no ETA for him coming back on the mound, right?
Not as far as I know.
Yeah.
Brian, I know you do occasionally read Ben Lindbergh's stuff. Did you happen to read his piece about the Dodgers challenging the single season wins record?
No, actually I didn't. I haven't checked out his stuff in a little bit.
So obviously the 60 game season, a very shortened season, but based on the Pythagorean record and an estimate of the, you know, like if you took the 60 games and times it by 2.7 based on, you know, obviously the 162 game season, that would put them at, I think it's 116 wins.
Which is tied with the record.
Yeah, that would be right. Yeah.
And there is a chance, of course, with what they've done this offseason, that they are better.
Would that be the National League record?
That would be the Major League record, I believe.
Well,
I thought
right,
it was 116.
So tie them with the leagues. So Cubs 06 and the 01 Mariners.
Yeah.
Are both 116 wins, no matter what.
116, yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't know. How can that? I mean, alone just in that division with the Padres, right? Like, they're actually going to
and
have some competition.
That's the tough thing, right?
That, right. Like, to me, I think the Padres are going to take, you know, they're going to, those are going to be great series. All. Yeah. I mean, I mean, as much as they're on paper, I mean, that's a lot of wins. Like, they're just straight up, right? You know, I mean, that's just, you know, that's...
Trevor Bauer can't get shelled like he did the other day.
Yeah, and Trevor Bauer isn't going to probably have the... I mean, that might have been his career year last year, right? I mean, he's going to be good. Don't get me wrong.
Depends on if he keeps cheating.
Yeah, well, you know, they do have David Price that people forget about, right? Because he didn't play last year, right?
They have a lot of good pitching.
No, yeah, they got tons of good pitching. But I'm not too sure if they've – did they – I don't know where they've decided Price is in the bullpen or if he's going to, you know, be one of the starters. But
oh,
yeah,
I think he'll start.
They got Riches. There's no doubt about it. I just think that's just – that would be – that's, you know, that's – that's only happened twice, right, in 100 and, you know, how many years of baseball, right? Like, it's – you're talking about an uber team. And even at that, Seattle never even won it that year. Right. So there's no guarantee, even if you won that many, you're winning a World Series. I mean, you know, they're probably going to be in 105 to 110 possibly, but I think the Padres just is going to battle them all year here, hopefully, because, you know, it'd be good for baseball. And I just think that's an outrageous number. I mean, it's just so high. I mean, somewhere in there, they're going to get injuries and whatever else, right? I mean, there's, you know, we're still going through a pandemic, so there could be games lost somewhere this season and all that. But yeah, I mean, I would... Yeah, it would be surprising if they make a march towards 116.
I would recommend folks check out the piece on The Ringer by Ben Lindbergh, but also to take a special look at the graphing that analyst Adam Ott, did about team performance in terms of runs scored and run prevention, accounting for park effects. The Dodgers were like far and away the best. They do link to the actual piece, but the graph that they show is pretty incredible indicator. I don't know. I was looking at MLB trade rumors, and according to USA Today's Bob Nightingale talking to the White Sox VP Kenny Williams, Andrew Vaughn, there's a chance that they do carry him on the opening day roster, even if he doesn't have a long-term deal in place.
Oh, good. They should.
So this is good news. I know we talk sometimes about, you know, the suppression of players and obviously with like team control issues, we've seen this again and again, and it's created obviously animosity amongst a great number of players, and why we see, you know, things like Chris Bryant and
I think they're getting smart.
They've had
smarter, right? I think that they realize that they can't keep fighting these fights, because then there's just a pattern, right? And once it becomes like a pattern that these players keep pointing to and saying, hey, look at what they're doing. like eventually a judge is going to side with them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that they can't keep jobbing the system, and or I mean it's going to either have an impact when it comes to this next CBA, or yeah, like when it comes to specific arbitration on some of these players.
Yeah, so they can't keep doing it.
Yeah, the service time is ridiculous. It's just, to me, it's a non-starter for baseball fans. It's just doesn't make any sense.
We want to see, we're baseball fans. We want to see the best players play.
We want the best players when they're available. Then don't sit them, you know, for no apparent reason. It just makes no sense at all. But I mean, this has happened forever, and until they deal with it, they're going to deal with doctoring baseballs or whatever, or you know, other stuff, and they don't really want to deal with the issue of actually producing the best product on the field.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously this is the number 3 overall pick from the 2019 draft, and someone who hasn't played high level baseball, but in every level has done very well, and you know, has performed very well in spring training as well. I mean, obviously take those stats with a grain of salt, but you know, certainly has given a good enough impression, and you know, seems to be part of this White Sox like master plan for this young offense, right? Like that this is a player who fits in the mix very nicely with what they are looking to build as a team of hitters.
And my question is where, like, how does he get every day at bats, right? Like a player like that does need development, and I'm not suggesting to keep him down, but you have the reigning MVP, right?
Yeah.
So like they play the same position.
Well, they have no full-time DH right now.
I thought it was going to be, I thought it was going to be Lubob, because he's not really that good of a fielder.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, technically, like they haven't named Lubob.
I mean, I guess you kind of have to, right?
Right. I would think if you're making that commitment, then you're going to find a way to get him on the field somehow, right? And that's sort of the deal. I mean, I guess you could put him in. Yeah, I mean, but if you're committing to it, then you commit to it, right? And you find a way to get him on the field there and have him play, right? And get it going, right? So, I mean, I'll say this. I'm intrigued by that division this year. I think your Twinkies there, Michael, are going to be having a good run with Chicago. And oh, I can even say it. I'm going to say the Royals might be that.
No, come on.
Dark. Oh, yeah. I think the Royals might do something this year. We'll see.
Let's not reboot the yelling.
We're all good.
I mean, the Cleveland professional baseball team might still be pretty okay this year too, right? Mm. I think I would rank them higher than the Royals.
We'll see here. We'll see. I mean, you know, hey, I mean, I think it's obviously Minnesota and Chicago, the top two, and then the rest. And we don't even talk about Detroit right now, but
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you got your 1, 2, and 3 tier there, but yeah, I mean, there's nothing hopefully but a positive here that, you know, if we could try and get the best players, regardless of service time, onto the field, please do so. Please, yep. Let's somehow, some way, let's just get this done here. So that could at least alleviate that, where you're just having players sit for no apparent reason.
Yeah. It would be nice to see that kind of change. Anything else you guys want to talk?
Well, I just real quick about the doctoring. Did you see that about baseball wants to clap down?
Oh, they want to clap down on the pitchers doctoring the ball.
Yeah. So, I mean, sure. I don't know. I mean, sounds great in premise, but I mean, this thing has been going on for like 100 years. So I'm not.
Yes and no. I mean, because like, what does doctoring the ball mean, right? Like, is it talking about guys using stuff on their fingers? Because like, from what I've read, a majority of hitters actually prefer it when pitchers use stuff on their fingers.
It'd be like a little bit of pine tar, or a little bit of, you know, scuffing of, you know.
Yeah, whatever. and the reasoning behind it, from what I've read, is
control.
Exactly. They feel right?
Want the pitch, the 100-mile-an-hour pitch, not going to go right to their head. It's actually going to be in the box, right?
Exactly. And that's the reasoning behind that.
Again, I wonder, was this like a the number one priority for Major League Baseball at the start?
Well, you know, so I mean, I get it. I think it's a Trevor Bauer problem.
Yeah.
right? You know, that he made take multiple claims.
Social media.
Well, but I mean, hang on, right? Like, I agree. I mean, he's a little, but he made repeated claims over and over again that you cannot increase spin rate, right? Like a pitcher's spin rate is like their baseball fingerprint. You know, your spin rate on your fastball is the spin rate on your fastball, and like increasing it, anything shows that you're using something, you're doctoring the ball in some way, shape or form. And his spin rate went up by about 2000 or like it was a 1500 RPM last season. Right. So like, unless he found some magic mojo, which is possible, I don't doubt that it is. It's basically Trevor Bauer waving his, like biting his thumb in the face of Major League Baseball saying, if you guys aren't going to fix this, I'm going to abuse it. And then he won the Cy Young Award doing that and has spent all offseason basically trash talking Major League Baseball. And so I can see that this is more or less the Trevor Bauer exception, right?
Well, at least he spent his time trash talking Major League Baseball and not young women on Twitter. So
yeah, thank goodness.
There's a bright side.
Yes.
With that, we will wrap things
Hold
up.
Hold on here real quick here. Give me a quick one, Brian. I know we got a couple seconds here left.
Yeah. So one of my listeners actually reached out to me from jail and said that one of the things that's keeping him going throughout his stay is listening to my show. And nice. So he requested a bunch of bands, including Comeback Kid, Propagandy, NOFX, and AFI. So I'll be building a show around them today.
Some Winnipegs and some classics right there.
That's awesome.
Okay, well, stick around for the pity party at 1 p.m. That's it for this edition of the Bench Jockeys. We'll be back next Friday.
Play ball!
Strike three, you're out!